Hey everyone, welcome to The Message. My name is Richard from Lifehouse here in Hong Kong, and I'm really excited to be able to share this week's message with you. In fact, I'm wrapping up our series on winning habits. And today I want to talk about the habit of keeping a clean heart. Forgiveness. This is a big topic. I got lots to say. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get straight into it. Lord, we thank you that you forgave us, Lord, and we want to be like you. Help us to grow in this. Help us to be strong and great forgivers, Lord. We want to have great relationships with people. We want you to use us powerfully. So help us grow in this area and speak to us during this time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Well, I've called this message, How Do I Forgive? And I think it's a good question because a lot of us know that maybe we should forgive, right? We've all heard this, whether you're a Christian or not. We know that forgiveness is something that we should do, but sometimes it just feels hard to do. How do we forgive? In fact, Proverbs 4 verse 23 talks about the condition of our heart and how important it is that we keep clean hearts. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's a pretty powerful truth there, that everything that's going on in my little heart is actually guiding my life. In fact, some other translations say that our heart determines the course of our life. So it's going to actually determine where I end up in life. What's going on in here is going to shape my decisions. It's going to shape my desires. It's going to end up shaping my marriage. It's going to end up shaping my relationship with my kids, or end up shaping my relationship with my colleagues or those at work. It's so important that we protect what's going on in here because everything flows from it. And I know this because I see it in my kids. I got four boys, if you don't know that. And sometimes they'll come up to me and occasionally one of them might tell a little lie, okay? About the age 4 or 5, they hit that age and they start learning that they can actually lie. And of course, we try to parent them out of that bad habit. But when a kid lies to you, usually they're pretty bad liars, to be honest. It's very easy to spot a lie in a kid because they may be saying what they want you to believe, but with the rest of their body, they are communicating the whole opposite because their little heart knows the truth and their heart is communicating through their body language that this is not true, if this is a lie. They can't hide what's going on in their heart. And I think it's just a universal truth that we can't hide from what's going on. Maybe we can hide it for a little while in life, but it's always going to catch up to us what's going on in our heart. So for us to keep a clean heart, for us to be forgiving others, it's such a huge part of where we're going in life. And to be honest, relationships are kind of the most precious thing that we have on this earth. And the way that we keep our hearts clean and forgive others is actually going to determine the health of our relationships in life. So one of the challenges is that forgiveness is kind of a misunderstood topic, right? And what does forgiveness really look like? If we look at scripture, if we look at what Jesus modeled and taught, what does it actually look like? We've heard this word before, but we may have misunderstood some things. And I want to go to a story of Peter. Peter was an amazing disciple and he followed Jesus for many years and was essentially modeled a forgiving lifestyle in front of him through the life of Jesus. But even Peter had some misunderstandings about forgiveness. Matthew 18 verse 21, Peter actually comes up to Jesus and he asks him, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Pretty interesting question. How many times should we forgive someone? And maybe Peter is thinking 7 is quite a lot. Maybe he's actually feeling pretty good about himself. Look, Jesus, I didn't just forgive them once, twice, 3 times. No, 7 times. That's pretty amazing, right? And I think he was doing a good job. And Jesus kind of reframes it and says, Peter, verse 22, he says, no, You got it wrong. Not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Okay, and for you math people out there, it's 490 times. And I'll be honest with you, before I prepared for this message, I actually had to use a calculator to work that out. But anyway, 490 times Jesus is saying, hey, you do it until the job is done. He's not saying stop at 490. It's a figurative illustration. He's saying you forgive until it's gone. You forgive until that those feelings towards that person have left, and we come to what really is the definition of the word forgive. In the Bible, the New Testament was written in Greek. What does the word forgive mean? Forgiveness means release. It means to send away. It means to cancel a debt. It means let it go, let it go. Something. You know the song, right? This is the Elsa principle. I let it go. Forgiveness means to let it go. What am I letting go of? I'm letting go of bitterness. I'm letting go of resentment. I'm letting go of my offense. I'm letting go of my right to hold that person accountable. I let it go. I release it. I release it from my heart. It's gone. I make the decision for it to leave. You know, unforgiveness has been described as being like poison. Let's say you see someone at work who you're angry at. Maybe it's your boss, one of your colleagues who keeps dropping the ball or something like that. And you just, every time you see them, and what ends up happening is with this poison of unforgiveness, every time we see that person, it's like we take a bit of poison and it's like we're taking the poison, but we're wishing that it would hurt them. But instead, it's just hurting us. Every time I see them, I'm miserable. Now I'm avoiding them in the office. I'm actually living my life out of a place of unforgiveness, and it's starting to damage me and my decisions and the way that I feel. It's creating tension in the office. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and wishing someone else would die. It doesn't work that way. It damages us. That's a big reason why we should all really want to grow in this area and become really good forgivers. Because if I can become good at keeping that heart clean, then good things are going to flow out of my life. And I think, hey, for those of you who have a family, for those of you who are married, we got to set this goal. I want to become a great forgiver so that I can flourish in my marriage. And by the way, just a little tip. If you forgive someone, you don't have to tell them that you've forgiven them. There might be some cases where that makes sense, but I think a lot of cases, forgiveness is just about quietly releasing it in our heart to God. And in fact, if I came up to my wife and I said, you know what, Janice, I just want you to know I've forgiven you. She's going to be like, what? What did I do? And then I said, like, oh, you know that time when you said that thing and then you did that thing? Yeah, well, I've been really pretty angry about that for the last month. And she's like, you know, that's a bad decision, okay? You don't have to do that. Hey, if you need to forgive, you can just release it in your heart. There might be some times where, yeah, you can share that you've forgiven someone, but I think sometimes that might give them an issue that they might then need to forgive you about. So forgiveness is not about them. Forgiveness is about me and my heart. It's about releasing. Some of us might say, I don't want to release that person. They don't deserve it. And we need to understand, yeah, come on, don't let go of that poison. Stop taking that poison. It's only going to damage your life. What forgiveness doesn't mean is it doesn't mean you trust the person. It doesn't mean that you agree with what they did. You can forgive them, but then you don't even have to be close to them. It's not something, it doesn't say that you need to be their best friend. If someone keeps hurting you, you don't have to be close to that person, but we do need to release them from our own heart and release that bitterness. In fact, I remember when I was in university, living in Australia with a bunch of friends from church, there was a young guy who came and visited our church, and he said he didn't have a place to stay and he was between jobs. And we were kind of nice and way, way, way too naive. And we let him stay with us even though we didn't know him. Every day he'd be looking for jobs on the internet. And after about a week, he moved on and we didn't really see him again. But it wasn't long till after he'd left that we heard that he had been arrested. And what he'd been doing the whole time on our computer was he'd been selling things on eBay that didn't exist. And he was basically just taking people's money, hundreds and thousands of Australian dollars, and then deleting his profiles, starting new ones, and just stealing innocent people's money. It was really awful. And he did that in our house. And he did that from my computer. And he did that after we had just been so nice to him and took care of him. And, you know, I was really annoyed by this. And I thought, how dare you do this? And I had to go through a process of forgiveness with this guy. But that doesn't mean I now trust him. Just because I've forgiven him, just because I've let it go, doesn't mean that I'm going to let him back in my house, you know? And so obviously in the context of a marriage or something like that, this is going to look differently. But we've got to understand that forgiveness means release, okay? It doesn't necessarily talk about the reconciliation of a relationship. Does that make sense? Hope that's clear. So forgiveness means release. The second thing, forgiveness is an instruction. This is something that's not optional for those who follow Jesus. In Ephesians 4 verse 31, it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." And so for me as a believer, I'm following Jesus's model. I don't have the option anymore of holding on to that unforgiveness. Jesus forgave me. He's forgiven you. He is our model. We need to forgive. Get rid of it. Get rid of the poison. Release it. Sometimes we think, I can't forgive. Hey, come on. We can't say that anymore. Jesus is our model. He forgives us. We can forgive and we must forgive. In fact, maybe you might even need to forgive someone at church at some point. If you come to a church long enough, there's going to be someone who may upset you at some point. Just like if you're in a company long enough, someone will upset you. Just like if you're in a marriage long enough, there'll be someone that upsets you. And we are instructed, we are commanded by Jesus to forgive those people. And what does that mean? It means release. Don't hold on to it anymore. The Elsa principle, let it go. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life by holding on to that stuff. And the last thing, number three, forgiveness is a decision. It's a decision. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. In fact, it's saying, Jesus, I choose. I have decided to let that go. And it's so important, this decision, that Jesus actually says, if you're praying to me and you've got a grudge against someone, you actually need to go and forgive first before you come and pray to me. Mark 11 verse 24, I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Sounds really good, right? The next verse. But when you're praying, first, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Right? It's not saying you have to go and be best friends with them, but it is saying you have to release. And I get it because I'm a parent. And when my kids are fighting, which happens on a daily basis, I might have one kid that comes up to me and says, Dad, can I have some ice cream? And I'll say, have you forgiven your brother? You know, have you sorted that out? Because I don't want my kids living with anger. I don't want my kids holding on to that stuff. I care more about these boys and their relationship and their own heart than I do about the ice cream. And I think it's the same with God. He cares more about us and our heart than he does about even maybe those things that we're praying for. And so he's trying to teach us a lesson. Let's be good forgivers. The good news is, because it's a decision, you don't have to feel like it. And I think many times when we say things like, I can't forgive, I just can't, what we're actually saying is, I never feel like it. I don't want to. And that's true. And I would say most times in my life when I've had to forgive someone, I didn't want to. It wasn't something that my heart wanted. It's something that I knew was right. I'm a believer. Jesus forgave me. I've decided I need to forgive. And maybe it took time for my feelings to catch up. And if you make that decision, today, you might find that tomorrow you're angry with that person again. That's okay. Tomorrow, forgive again. Make the decision. And then the next day, you're angry again. Forgive again. I think that's why Peter was saying, look, Jesus, 7 times? Because oftentimes we do have to forgive multiple times. And every day, a new decision, I'm going to forgive. The good news is it won't happen forever. Over time, depending on maybe how big of a problem it was, if it was a really big thing, it might take some time. If it was a small thing, maybe a bit quicker. But we can actually, our feelings can actually catch up to our decision that we've made. And over time, that hurt will be gone. It will be healed. I think this is a great way to live. Just saying every day, I forgive. Every day, I want to be a forgiver. Jesus, I forgive. Bring that into your marriage. Oh, that'll build great marriages. How many marriages could have been saved if both parties were just committed to being forgivers? I want to finish this story of Peter because he experienced the forgiveness of Jesus that he had asked him about. There was a moment where Jesus and Peter were talking and Jesus said to him, look, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow, you are going to deny me 3 times. And Peter, in all of his confidence and big talking, said, there's no way, Jesus, I will never deny you. I love you. He loved Jesus. His heart was good. And yet Jesus goes and is arrested, and Peter is following along behind the arrested Jesus. And Peter is trying to stay, out of the frame so that people are not associating him with Jesus because he doesn't want to get arrested. So, but he also loves Jesus and he wants to stay close enough to kind of see what's happening. And it doesn't take long for a servant girl to come up to him and say, hey, I think this guy was with Jesus. And Peter's like freaking out. He's in self-preservation mode. He doesn't want to get arrested. And so he's like, no, no way. He goes into kind of defense mode and he tells a lie, a very big lie. In fact, he denies his relationship with Jesus, whom he loves. That's the first time. Not long after that, someone else comes up to him and says, hey, aren't you that guy that was with Jesus? And Peter, once again, he digs the hole deeper and he lies again. And he says, no, I don't know the man. And we come to the third denial right here in Luke chapter 22, verse 59. It says, about an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And that was the symbol. That was the alarm bell that Jesus said would go off when he had sinned 3 times, when he had denied Jesus 3 times. You could even say when he had betrayed Jesus 3 times. Because this was the moment of Jesus' greatest point of need. He was alone, surrounded by soldiers and heading towards the courts that would ultimately lead him to the cross. And Jesus knew what was happening. He knew where this was going. And he was alone. And one of his closest guys just denied their whole relationship. It was a true moment of being relationally alone for Jesus. And this rooster crowing was this symbolic moment of Peter realizing, I've done it. I've done what Jesus said. And in verse 61, it says, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. They were that close that Jesus could see him. He looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny 3 times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. And I imagine the eyes of Jesus, the warm, forgiving, loving, but probably hurt eyes of Jesus looking straight into the soul and the heart of Peter. And Peter would have felt that. Peter would have felt that he'd hurt Jesus, but also I believe he would have felt the forgiveness of Jesus in that moment as well. And that ate him up from the inside. He hurt Jesus. And this hurt Peter, seeing the way that Jesus was responding and knowing what he had done. Peter was now in a place of hating himself. Jesus was so amazing. I have no doubt that Peter knew he was forgiven, but it was, oh, such a heavy weight to bear. And we know that Jesus goes on and is tried, and they put him on the cross. And it says that even as they nailed Jesus to the cross, he was modeling this clean heart. And he said, it says in Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus was forgiving the people who put the nails into his wrists and his ankles. He was forgiving the people torturing him as they did it. Not even later. It was he just would not allow unforgiveness. He would not allow bitterness, resentment, offense, any of this to land in his heart. He guarded his heart. It's the best model in all of Scripture for guarding your heart. He never let it touch him. He was forgiving from, you know, as it happened in real time. Because he understood the power of forgiveness. He understood the destructive power of unforgiveness. "I will not let that touch my heart," is what Jesus is thinking. "I forgive these people." And there comes a moment where Jesus has risen again. He's come back to life. We know the story, right? He died on the cross for our sins and he rose again to give us a new life. And Peter knew all of this, and there comes a moment where Peter is actually having breakfast with the risen Savior. He's having breakfast with Jesus after he's come back to life. And Jesus says a few things to Peter that reminds Peter back to denying Jesus three times. And this was a heavy moment for Peter. And it actually says that Peter was hurt in this conversation, which is very interesting. Jesus brings this up. And he mentions to Peter three things. He asks him three questions. He basically asks him the same thing, which is, "Peter, do you love me?" And three times. And how many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. John 21, verse 17, a third time. This is the third time he's asking him the same question. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. Why was he hurt? I think he was hurt because he's just reminded of his own failure and he's been beating himself up about it. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Now, it doesn't even say that Jesus said, "I forgive you, Peter." But what Jesus is doing is he's restoring Peter back to his original calling, saying, "Peter, just go and change the world. I have a calling on your life. You're going to be an amazing pastor. Go and shepherd the flock that I'm going to put you in front of. I love you. I have this amazing plan for your life. And just because you stuffed up and just because you stuffed up again and again and again, I forgive you. And I've got a great future for you. Don't let it hold you back, Peter. I release you. I release you into destiny." And I think in that moment, it would have been the opposite. It would have been Peter overwhelmed with joy, overwhelmed with purpose, and vision starts bursting again in his mind and in his heart of wow, I'm going to do all these things for God, and God still can use me even though I denied Jesus three times. He felt the power of forgiveness in that moment, the releasing power. And I just think it's an amazing story. I want to be like Jesus. He's our model. He's our model of forgiveness. And 17 years ago, when I came to Lifehouse, I probably wasn't a very good forgiver. But I learned something. It's one of our big three values here at Lifehouse. We've talked about journaling. We've talked about simple prayer. And let me tell you about clean heart. Keeping a clean heart every night. Checking our heart before we sleep and leaving the day's problems in that day and not carrying it over to the next day. In fact, Ephesians 4, verse 26 to 27 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." Every time I stay angry at that person, every time I hold on to my hurt and say, "I will not forgive," or "I can't forgive," we are giving the devil an opportunity to get into our lives and into our relationships and get into our heart. And I think it's just a great practice to every night, as the sun goes down, you know, as we're laying in bed, just a little moment with Jesus to say, "Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. And Lord, speak to me about my life and speak to me about today. And is there anyone I need to forgive? Is there anyone I need to let go? Yes, Lord, I let that person go. I release. Is there anything I need to change? Is there anything I need to set right with you? God, I'm sorry about that. I want to move on. I'm going to live differently. I'm walking in your light, Jesus. Thank you. Amen." And with gratefulness, just have a little moment with Jesus before you sleep, and just a moment between you and him of resetting things in here so that we're not building things up. And it's interesting that that verse says, "Be angry, but do not sin." And there will be things that upset you during the day. That's just normal. We don't beat ourselves up for that. But we don't beat ourselves up because of that. But we need to get rid of it at the end of the day. We need to start with a clean slate. It's a clean heart at night. It's a winning habit. It's a winning habit for those who are married. It's a winning habit for those who belong to a local church. It's a winning habit for those who work with other people. In fact, it's just a winning habit of life, keeping a clean heart. Let's build this practice into our life. And right now, I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray you would speak to us about anyone that maybe is in our heart because we've been holding on to some things. Lord, a colleague, a family member, a loved one, whoever it is, a friend. Whatever that hurt is, Jesus, we don't want it in our life. We let go of that poison. We let go of unforgiveness. We let go of bitterness and offense. And Lord, we choose to be forgivers. As hard as it is sometimes, Lord, we are not waiting till we feel like it. We choose now forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you that you have forgiven us and we never have to work for your forgiveness. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. And I think that is some life-changing stuff right there. If you've just forgiven someone, I want to really encourage and challenge you. Keep forgiving every day until that is just dealt with and it's gone and it's in the past. Now, I want to talk about one other group of people that I'd love to pray for here at Lifehouse. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is the moment. I've talked about forgiveness. That's why Jesus went to the cross. It's why he rose again. He paid the ultimate price of giving his own life for our sin so that we could be free, so that we could have eternal life with him. He rose again. He's a living God. He's powerful and he wants to know you. If you want a relationship with Jesus, we've put a prayer up on the screen. Why don't you say this prayer with me and say it from your heart to Jesus. Here we go. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Amen. That's awesome. Well, if you've prayed that prayer, we want to help you here at Lifehouse. It's the beginning of an amazing relationship. See you next week.